Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, for I am gracious and merciful. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was driving out a demon who was mute, and when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. Some of them said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If then I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace and his possessions are safe, but when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Have a seat. I'm really tired. It's been a long week, and I had to pick somebody up late from the airport last night. This is what happens when you're pastor at the airport. But I swapped with Father Smith on purpose because I wanted to come out today. I wanted to come out today because I wanted to be able to speak on this anniversary of our patron's death, on the day that the church now keeps the memory of Saint Perpetua and Felicity, on the virtue of obedience. And the reason I wanted to speak on the virtue of obedience is because I think both St. Thomas and St. Perpetua have something important to teach us, and maybe especially the younger among us, though the olders might need a lesson too, in what true obedience really looks like, and why it's okay that sometimes obedience is hard, and it's not always clear what to do. So rehashing a bit, I know most of you know this bit of the story because I talk about it a lot, but St. Thomas and his mom had a difference of opinion as to what his vocation ought to be. They agreed that he ought to be a priest, but Thomas wanted to be a Dominican, a beggar monk, a man so devoted to the intellectual life of the church that he wouldn't even have his own possessions. His mother wanted him to be a priest, preferably an abbot in a very large, very wealthy monastery or bishop of an important diocese. She didn't like the poor bit. Now, poor Thomas was in a bind. Kid, not much older than our upper school kids, in fact, the same age as some of our upper school kids, convinced that God was calling him to do something, the church having ratified his sense that God was calling him to do this, that is, the order had accepted him, the bishop and the abbot that had been in charge of the school he was at were both involved, pretty much everybody but Mama Aquinas thought this is what ought to happen. But she was a formidable woman. Formidable enough, she had him kidnapped and locked up to try and get him to change his mind. Sometimes, I know none of the parents here would ever do this, but occasionally, parents lose their temper. And when they lose their temper, sometimes they say or do foolish things. I know none of your parents have done this to you yet. Maybe you'll get lucky, it'll never happen. But poor Mama McManus had a real habit of it, so I understand it firsthand. Aquinas never spoke disrespectfully to his mother. all the accounts, and we have a lot of them, from his brothers and one sister, never did he, combat her in public, engage her in arguments at the table, fight over this in front of the others. Everybody knew what the fight was over, but never would he disrespect her in public. Never would he question or push back or countenance against her will in front of the others. They had a lot of private conversations about it, and we don't know what the content of all those were. And he did ultimately do what he believed was right, even though it wasn't what his mother wanted. But as he explained it to her, "I do this, mother, out of obedience, which you taught me. For him, being obedient actually meant doing something different than what she wanted. What she really wanted was something more. St. Perpetua and her father likewise had a dispute over what her vocation ought to be. She believed she was being called to be a martyr, and he believed she was not. Perpetua's dad was a pagan, even though most of the rest of the family had converted. And when Perpetua and several of the others got caught and were going to be executed for the faith, he came with enough money to bail them all out of jail and to try and convince them to change their minds, to offer incense and worship of the emperor. And she wouldn't do it. And he tried to argue and cajole and bribe her out of jail. And she famously said to him, they're standing sort of on either side of the jail cell, "Father, do you see that water jar?" "Yes, daughter." "Could you call it anything but a water jar? Could you call it an apple or a wolf or a brick?" "No, of course not. It's a water jar." "Neither could you call me anything but a Christian. I could say it, but it would be untrue." Here's the truth about obedience, gang. Your parents demand your obedience and do it in right, and your teachers and your priests too, because they want what's best for you. Now, it is of course the case, and the older you get, the more you realize how much this is, it is of course the case that we're just human beings like you, only slightly older and fatter, which means we make mistakes. Sometimes our desire to do the best for you causes us to misfire, to make a bad decision, or to over or underreact. But the good of the family depends on the virtue of obedience. This is true in the church as well. The bishop holds the rest of us together. If you had to depend on every priest in Des Moines getting along with each other and always perfectly agreeing, you would not have a church. You probably wouldn't even have my house. There's only three of us. So it's much easier for everybody to have to relate well to one person than to force everybody to relate well to everybody else all the time. And most of your families are big enough, you know exactly what this is like, which is why when mom and dad are gone, there's only one person who's in charge, even though she's a pain. Yeah, mine was a sister, but you get it. So obedience is what binds us together as a community. And that's why it is truly about deep listening. That doesn't mean that I can listen to what they say and then ignore it, but it is often about listening for what's under what is said. Aquinas had to listen to what his mother was trying to say when she was saying, "I don't want you to join this community." What she was trying to say was all the things a mother would always say. "I love you. I care about you. I want you to be safe. I want you to be holy. I want you to grow up to be a saint." What was underneath some of that was, "You're a rich kid, you came from a rich family, I don't think you're going to make it if you try and go do this hard thing." But she couldn't bring herself to say that, so far as we can tell. And so he had to sew that out on his own. You go to your folks and you say, "Can I stay out later Friday night than is normal? Can I stay out past curfew?" And they say no. And your folks say no. And what you hear is I don't trust you, I don't trust your friends, and so you can't stay out late. But what your parents are really saying is, "I love you and I care about you and I want you to be safe. And the best way I know to keep you safe is to have you home by 10. Now, you might still disagree about the time, but it is a whole lot easier to do what somebody says when in the back of your mind you hear them saying, "I love you and I care about you and I want you to be safe," than what you hear them saying is, "I don't trust you," or "I don't trust your friends." And it is a whole lot better for the family when we obey the person in charge, not simply because we know we'll get in trouble if we don't, but because we recognize it's better for everybody, even if it means, in this instance, I might have to take one for the team. If St. Thomas and St. Perpetua and Felicity and all the rest could do that, then there's absolutely no reason we can't. And that's something for which we can be grateful on this pseudo-feast of our best patrons.